Well, I'm going to do a little Christmas message this evening, and I'm going to go from the same passage I preached from this morning, maybe with a little different twist to it, but I am going to summarize a little bit of this morning. This morning's message was God is in control. God is in control. God is in control when things go absolutely haywire. God is in control. God is in control when things are going smooth. God is in control. He's always in control. And when we understand that, it changes the bigger picture. It causes us to refocus on Him when everything goes the wrong way. And for Joseph and Mary, it was a confusing time. We understand that God is in control because it's Him that moved Caesar Augustus to call for a tax that caused Mary and Joseph to actually have to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. An angel could have appeared and told Joseph and Mary, get down to Bethlehem. That's where the baby's supposed to be born, because that was prophesied in the Old Testament. But instead, God, showing how much He is in control, moves the emperor of the Roman Empire, who actually called himself Caesar Augustus, Augustus meaning the mighty one, God himself, who actually called himself God. God shows that He's in control of the Caesars of this world. He's in control of everything that happens. Now you might say, well, if God's in control of everything, why doesn't everything turn out all right? It turns out all right for the believer, regardless of the circumstances that we face, because He's a sovereign God. But it may not necessarily turn all right for those who do not know the Lord, because what people want God to do, because He's in control, is take away all the consequences for sin, but they want to keep on sinning. And God's not going to do that, because He knows the consequences for sin must happen. They are the result of it. But the mercy and the grace of God in a broken and ruined world, God, who is sovereignly in control, who at just the appointed time, as it tells us in the book of Galatians, when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. He sent His Son into the world to be born exactly where He planned it to be hundreds of years before the world began, that in the little town of Bethlehem, the Savior would come. Even though Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth, God moved them all the way to Bethlehem by His sovereign control of the ruler of the Roman Empire, calling a tax which forced Joseph and Mary to go exactly there. And so it says in Luke 2:1, that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, as it says in Galatians. So, Luke 2:6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. What I want to talk about tonight is a simple word: make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. Here we see there was no room for them in the inn. Now, this was under because of certain circumstances. But I want you to think about the Son of God entering into this world. And when you look at the circumstances that He faced, not only when He was born, but this was really a picture of what was to come. There was no room for Jesus in Israel as a nation. They rejected Him. What shall we do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Crucify Him, was the answer back. What did the representatives of Israel, the governing rulers of Israel, consider, think about Jesus Christ? Away with this man. We must get rid of him at all costs. Even when He rose Lazarus from the dead, we have to get rid of this one. There was no room for Jesus Christ. Not in their economy. Not in their world system, not in the way of doing things. There's no room for Jesus Christ. Look at your own society today. Is there room for Jesus Christ? Do people make room for the Lord Jesus in any sense in our governing societies of our country? No, they do not. Look at your village where you live. Do people make room for the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they do not. And should you be surprised that they don't make room for the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised that this is the case. But I want you to know that in spite of all of that, God is still what? in control. But here's what I want to encourage you tonight, is to make room for Jesus Christ. There, they came into this little town of Bethlehem, and here was the Son of God, the creator of all of the worlds, the one who had formed everything made that was made according to the word of God, and yet when they came into this little town, there was no room for Jesus Christ. Now, God had planned it that way. But there is a picture here that we wouldn't want to miss, that we need to make sure that we make room for the Lord Jesus, that we need to do that. When you go back to the story earlier in the Gospel of Luke, and we have Mary who was being announced to an angel announced to her that there is going to be, that she was going to become pregnant with the Son of God. She was going to become pregnant with the Messiah. And her question was, well, how can this be? I don't know. I've not had a man. I've not lain with a man. I haven't fooled around. I'm engaged to Joseph. We haven't done anything. And you're telling me I'm going to have a baby. How can this be? And the answer that came was an answer that told Mary, Mary, son of the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you. But you know that even at that point, there was something that Mary said. She said, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be according to your will. That there was a making room for Jesus. In this case, a making room for Jesus in Mary's womb. But not only in her womb, but in her heart. Not only in her heart, but in her whole life. Not only in the present moment, but for the rest of her days. There was a radical change going to happen to Mary with this entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into her womb. It was going to transform her whole experience, was it not? It was an incredibly radical change. But she was willing to say, I will. I will. Well, scary circumstances under every circumstance. Very scary. And I'll tell you something. It is always scary, in one sense, to make room for Jesus Christ in your life. Most people, before they ever get converted, they're counting a cost. They're wondering, you know, what's this going to mean in my life? And we should. The Lord Jesus gave a little illustration at one point encouraging us that we need to count the cost in our lives. Because when you make room for Jesus Christ, he takes over. When you make room for Jesus Christ, he has every right to every part of our life. And so when we talk about making room for Jesus, first of all, before we're converted, we need to understand that when you receive Jesus Christ, that this is God coming in. This is not just an inconsequential circumstance. This is the God of the universe stepping inside of your life. And surely something's going to happen when he steps in. But what can I say to you tonight except make room for Jesus? If you're the inn tonight, open, swing the heart's door widely open. Let him in. Let him come into your life. Let him have his way in your experience. Make room for Jesus in your life. When you do, you know, the Bible speaks about it in this respect. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him. There's a receiving of Jesus Christ that needs to happen. But as many as received him, he does something. He gives you the right to become one of the sons of God, one of the children of God. This is what he offers to us. Make room for Jesus Christ. First of all, in salvation, open your heart to him. Allow him in. No longer a little baby that you need to make room for, but the risen King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe, wants to live inside of you. Make room for him. Don't hold back on this one. But say, yes, Lord, come in. Take over my life. You have every right to it. You created me. You created all things. And you have every right to my thoughts. You have every right to every part of me. There's a startling verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm guessing the verse numbers because I'm not good at those. 5 or 6, somewhere in there. It says this, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Can you imagine? Every thought captive. Every thought governed by Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you. First of all, we make room for Jesus Christ for salvation. If we don't do that, he's not inside of us. We are lost in our sins. We will perish for eternity. But God loves the world to make a connection with us, so he sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to come into our very beings, to take over our lives in a beautiful way, in a wonderful way. And what it really does is free us up to be what we were meant to be in God. It gives us the greatest liberty that we could ever have. And this is what God has come to do. But more than that, friends, what I want to encourage you tonight at this time of Christmas, when we think about this baby coming into the world, which by and large rejected him, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own, the very ones who were waiting for him, the very ones that they were had been prophesied to that he was coming, they rejected him. Wow. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And what my encouragement to all of us tonight is, make room for Jesus Christ. Make room for him in your life and in your experience. If you've already accepted him as your Savior, still make room for him. If I invited a guest to come to my house, and when he got in the door, I said, well, it's really nice to have you in my home, but I prefer if you stayed in the porch, because the rest of the house, I got some things going on, and I don't want you to be involved in them. So if you don't mind, I got a little cot here. I'll put it in my porch is pretty small. I'll put it in my porch, and you can curl up in the corner there. And so it's nice to have you in my home, and I'm proud to say that you're in my home. But stay in the porch, please. Is that making room? Is that really making room? Paul Henderson was down and speaking in Inverness a few years ago. Anybody remember who Paul Henderson is? Do you know Paul Henderson? You don't know who Paul Henderson is? He was a Toronto Maple Leaf hockey player, and he was the guy that got all those goals against the Russians back in the 70s. And so to have Paul Henderson around was quite an honor. And to have him, to invite him to come to my home, we broke out the filet mignons. We didn't spare, right? Because we were having Paul Henderson for dinner in our kitchen. And that was like, wow, that was something. Now, if you're not a hockey fan, it doesn't mean anything to you. But that was more, to me, that was as much as having Prime Minister to come in, or the king or the queen wouldn't have got the same treatment as Paul Henderson got, right? And this guy's a Christian, and he loves the Lord. And it was just an honor to have him. But we didn't say, well, Paul, we don't have time to feed you. Stay in the porch. No, he got the best treatment. And I want to encourage you, make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make room for him, not just in a corner of the room of your heart, but make room for him in every part of your life. Lord, you can have all of me. You know, sometimes that's not easy, because sometimes the flesh rises up and it wants to live. It wants to be vengeful. It wants to be angry. It wants to be bitter. It wants to say things that aren't right. Is that true? Yes. Do we all have that tendency in you? What's that?
There's always a battle for your soul.
You know where the battle's won or lost, though? The battle is won or lost is not in your trying to be good. The battle is not won or lost in where you're going to, I'm going to try and say the right thing. Even though I'm seething and burning on the inside, I'll be nice on the outside. Right? That's not where the battle is won or lost. The battle is won or lost in how much room you're going to make for Jesus Christ in your life. That's where the battle is won or lost. Because when you make room for the Lord Jesus, then his love comes in, his power comes in, his strength, his way of looking at things. You begin to see things his way, so that you see the chains that people are wearing. So if somebody does you wrong, if somebody harms you, instead of, oh, I'd really like to get that person in the corner and down behind the barn and give them a couple of whacks or kicks, you're not going to think that way now, because you're going to see the chains that are in their life, and those chains are dragging them right down into the flames of hell. And instead of being angry and everything else, you're going to have compassion, and you're going to pray for that person, because Jesus said to love your enemies and do good to those who do evil to you. Are you making room for Jesus? Are you making room for Jesus? Not just in some corner of your home, but in every part of your very experience, in all that you have and all that you are. Yes, Lord Jesus, come in.
That's why he said,
It's his living water. It's him. It's his life. It's the life of Christ transforming your eyes, transforming your heart, transforming your mind. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we need a new way of thinking. Are you going to make room for Jesus there? Are you going to make room for Jesus in your actions? That is, in what you do in the run of a day, in what you type on your computer, in what you display to the world, in what you do in your home, and how you treat your kids, and how you treat your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. Are you making room for Jesus Christ? Or is he a token? Does he have a token place in your life and in your heart? Let me encourage you this Christmas. Say, Lord Jesus, you came into a world and your own didn't receive you. You came into Bethlehem and there was no room for the Son of God in that inn. And there was no place for the Son of God in Israel and in its leadership. And there was so much no place that eventually they said, we will away with this man, crucify him. Where they would choose a robber and an insurrectionist, Barabbas, over the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no room for the Lord Jesus there. But praise the Lord, there are still hearts. And there were hearts then, and there are hearts today that are opening themselves to the Lord Jesus and saying, yes, Lord, I'm making room for you. But every single day, make room for Jesus. Every moment, in every circumstance, make room for Jesus Christ. And as you do, oh, what joy we experience. Mary made a decision. She was willing to say, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. I am the servant. I am the slave of the Lord. Do with me what you will. And what did she get to experience? To bring the Lord Jesus into the world. Yes, she got to experience the troubles and the trials that came with journeying to Bethlehem and going into a stable and giving birth to a baby there. But suddenly, all of a sudden, shepherds show up. They come down from the side of the hill country, and they're rejoicing, and they're praising God, and they're declaring the wonders of the. They saw all of the angels, the skies open up and declare the wonder of the Savior. Mary saw a lot of stuff. She saw the Son of God being crucified on a cross, and all those things. The Bible says a sword will pierce your own soul. That's what it was predicted that Mary got when she went into the temple to dedicate the baby. But nevertheless, I don't imagine she would have traded one moment for having made room for the Lord Jesus in her life. Do troubles come when you make room for Jesus? Absolutely, they do. But I wouldn't trade those troubles for the experience of having the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Do we take different paths in life? Absolutely. But I wouldn't trade those paths for the paths that the Lord Jesus chose for me. I remember being in Halifax, and years ago, before Marie and I were married, we were just about a week from getting married, and I applied for this job at Dalhousie University, and it was to run their oceanographic experiment lab, and to run it for them. Now, I wasn't doing the experimenting, but I would maintain the whole thing, and it was a really good paying job. At those days, I forget, $50,000, $60,000 a year, which was a lot of money, and it was a secure job for the rest of my life. And I applied for it, and they didn't get me back in time. Like they were supposed to let me know if I've got an interview or got the job or whatever it was. Actually, I'd done the interview, and by a certain time. Well, the day came and went, and I says, that's it, I'm moving home. Came home, got married, got a power saw, went to the woods, and on Monday of the next week, they called me up, and they said, we want to let you know that you have the job. And I knew that God had called me home. And I knew that in my heart. So I said, nope, moved home, got married, bought a power saw, went to the woods, not going back to Halifax. Well, we're sorry to hear that. But I might have gotten the job, but I wasn't where God would want me to be. God called me to ministry. And making room for Jesus Christ, there's been sacrifices. I don't have what I would have had that way. But I have so much more. Making room for Jesus is worth it. It always is worth it. Because the true things, the things that really matter, are the transformation of your character to be more like Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you. Make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus at your workplace. Make room for Jesus in your thought life. Make room for Jesus in how you treat others. Make room for Jesus in how you treat your enemies. Make room for him in how you treat other people. Don't live apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take one room of your house, one corner of your life and say, Jesus, you can have all of this, but not this corner here. I'm holding on to this one. Don't do this, because there's where you will lose. Because Jesus Christ is looking for the lordship of your entire life so that he can bless your entire life. Don't leave a corner that's not touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the problem. Sin infects you. Sin is like an infection. It's like the Bible actually likens it in the Old Testament when it spoke about Israel. It said, you're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Now that's enough. That just sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? But that's what the way God describes sin in the life of Israel. And that's what sin is like in your life. So here's the thing. Let's say I've got my whole body and I'm willing to see my whole body well looked after. But there's one corner. Maybe I got a sore or an infection there. I say, well, I don't need to bother with that part. The rest of me is looking pretty good. I'm doing okay. So I've got a big sore on my leg. But I'm not going to touch that because I don't want the problems that might come with having to deal with it. I don't want the pain that comes with maybe having to cut something out or deal with it in a way. So I'll just ignore that and I'll carry on and everything will be okay. But what's going to happen after a while? It's going to spread. It's going to infect. It's going to cause you to be absolutely decimated and crippled and ruined by that one place where we allow a fester of infection to grow. He does know where we can, but God is greater. God is greater. So say to the Lord Jesus, maybe in a fresh way tonight, Lord, you can come and have every part of me. Lord, come and bring healing in every part. Don't let me hang on to some pussy infection of sin in my life. Don't let me hold on to a corner. It's not worth it. It's not worth it in this life. It's not worth it in the next life. Let the Lord Jesus have full access to all of you. So what can I tell you? My encouragement to you this Christmas is a fresh surrender to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I want all of you. I want all of the gift of God. I want all that you are for me, Lord, because he's offering it free. He's offering himself freely to us in every way. And you will never, never lose a thing by surrendering fresh to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can tell you this. Every day I have to make room for Jesus. Every day. My life gets cluttered quickly. And my mind gets cluttered quickly. And circumstances can overwhelm. I can easily be drifting away from making room for Jesus. So daily surrender, daily yielding, daily saying, oh Lord, come in and take over here. You can have every part. Lord, I'm not shutting any doors. Not to you. Take over all of my life. And there's no lack of rejoicing and there's no lack of joy when you make room for Jesus. That stable might have been a smelly place. That stable might have been a backward place. It might have been without all of the amenities that the local inn had. But I can tell you there was more joy and more rejoicing and more glory in that stable than there was anywhere else on the planet that night. When those shepherds walked in and those shepherds fell down and they worshiped the Son of God and they saw who he was. And Mary and Joseph in amazement watched them come in and tell this wonderful story. And they were freshly rejuvenated in remembering that those angels had come and visited Joseph and Mary and told them the story of what was to happen. And now they were in the middle of it and it was happening. There was glory in that stable. Far more glory than anywhere else. And oh, my friends, there'll be glory in your life. Far more glory than anywhere else. Not all the riches, not all the sin, and not all the glory that the world has to offer holds a candle to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As you begin to realize who he is and that he has come to grace your life with his presence every single day, oh, you will never lose as you make room for the Lord Jesus. Can I encourage you with all my heart? Make room for Jesus.